At a time when state and federal governments are saying that healthcare costs are unsustainable and that we don't want to end up with a system like the United States, in some respects we're already there. General practices are becoming bigger and bigger and integrating pathology and radiology businesses. Cardiologists, cancer, infertility specialists and others are getting together and becoming targets for private equity buyouts. It's the market at work. And some would say it makes the health system more competitive and affordable. But is that really true? On this evening's Health Report, Norman Swan talks to leading health economist Lawrence Baker, who's chief of health services research at Stanford University in California, and who studied the effects of medical competition in a world of consolidation.
The US has had a lot of changes over the last couple of decades, and particularly in the last maybe 5, 6, 7 years, where physician groups have started getting larger and they've become multi-specialty organizations. They've gotten themselves associated with other healthcare providers like hospitals. And as this happens, these groups get more and more economic power because they're bigger and stronger players in their market. And one of the things that we've also been noticing in the US over time is a tendency for some increases in prices. Physicians and these larger organizations are able to negotiate with our health insurers and demand or receive, at least at the end of the day, higher payments for their services. And so it's very interesting to understand both the trends in the marketplace, watching physicians change, and how this is related to the kinds of price effects that we've been seeing. The other thing that's really interesting, actually, is one of the policy changes that's been going on with the health reforms that the U.S. implemented in 2010 and just recently have started going into place and affecting behavior going forward. And one big piece of that is the encouragement of the formation of further large organizations under the hope, really, that they'll help improve quality, that patients will be better off.
These are the so-called accountable care organizations where they carry a bit of financial risk. There, if they provide high quality care according to certain parameters, they can gain money.
Yes, that's exactly it. So we're busy right now watching everybody try to become an accountable care organization. It's all the rage, and a lot of people are looking at that as a financial opportunity, but also as a quality improvement opportunity and trying to get the balance there right. If we create these things and they've got all this economic power, then they might get quality moving in the right direction, but they might also move prices in ways that we'd be concerned about.
So tell me about the competition study.
We were really interested in whether we could track the growth of large practices and the competition in different parts of the country. We were able to get in some data on the prices that are paid to those physicians when they see a patient for an office visit. And to put it, to make a long story short, what we found was that as physicians get more market power, as the amount of competition in an area decreases because there are fewer, more powerful practices, the average amounts paid to physicians in those areas can go up, often by noticeable amounts, you know, 5, 10, 15%.
So that's the accumulation of large group corporate practices often linked to hospitals or other organizations.
Yes, that's just it. So the U.S. has seen, you know, certainly over the last 5 or 7 or 8 years and even a little bit over a longer time period, real changes in the ways that physicians organize their practices, moving away from a 1 or 2 person, 3 person practice like you might have seen once upon a time. And more larger groups are forming. Physicians are going in together and to make larger groups or larger businesses.
So that implies then from your findings that there are areas of the country with essentially with monopolies.
The most common version of this is a smaller town that's maybe not right near a larger city and some specialties. We'll just pick on the cardiologists, but you know, specialty where you don't really in a smaller town have that many, if those cardiologists maybe get together and form one large group instead of 2 or 3 smaller practices, suddenly they're the only game in town.
If I were to give you the power of health reform, what would be some of the things that you'd put in place?
So I think one of the key things is getting the incentives right. One of the real challenges we've built into our healthcare system is a fee-for-service payment base that allows people to get paid more for doing more and allows people to get paid more for picking the most intensive, most expensive treatments. You know, our innovators tend to innovate in ways that create the most expensive options and put that in front of people. And it's easy to build a new fancy operating suite or build a fancy imaging center because you know you can get paid for it. So you don't think twice about whether we ought to be doing that or you don't think as often as you'd like. And so I am a big fan of trying to get incentives right. The other thing that I think about is the extent to which you can use market decisions by patients when they make decisions about healthcare, or whether you have to think more about government-organized, larger-scale regulatory kinds of systems.
Lawrence Baker, the Chief of Health Services Research at Stanford University in California, and you can hear more on tonight's Health Report with Norman Swan. That's at 5:30 this evening here on RN.